Okay. This is the last year for this month, now before the summer. On page Vav, from this Torah from Rav Motl, and there's a page you should be getting now. Rav is just passing out. Well, he's not passing out, he's passing around. It's fine. Thank you. I feel that there's a certain secret of Torah that I generally don't speak about Barabbim, only privately with some people. I have spoken about this, particularly with individuals who are going through a very difficult time. And if not for the broad shoulders of this tzaddik of Rav Motl, I wouldn't be going over this in public either. But since Rav Motl believes that it's something that should be publicized among Mavakshei Hashem, and you're included amongst them, so I'm going along with the Rav Motl. It's a big tzaddik, and we're learning a little bit of it together. But now, once the secret is out of what we're learning, so then it needs to be explained much more. And I'll do Bez Hashem more of that following the summer. But for now, we're on page Vav. There's a page that you got. We'll get to that in a minute. A few minutes, but look on page Vav, the last paragraph on page Vav, Umeata Nimsa. Umeata Nimsa Kilav Davke Mishal Ilm Lenichal Becheta Filavainas. Therefore, according to what we're learning, what we've been talking about the past few weeks, from Rabbi Tzaddik and Rabbi Nachman, all the tzaddikim who are rooted in Sisrei Torah, in the secrets of Torah, that there is such a thing, particularly at the end of time, that individuals who want desperately to overcome this particular taiva of Shmiras HaBris, this inyan of Kedushas HaBris, the taiva of Pagam HaBris, and find themselves struggling and often failing in this inyan, that the Sfarim have already revealed to us that oftentimes it's beyond the limit of one's free choice. That there is something unusual that's happening, particularly at the end of time. There's something that Hashem is Baruch is working out. What that sugi is, we spoke a little bit about last week, reaching into the belly of the Sitra Achra and wrenching out neshamas at the end of time and pulling out those last neshamas before Mashiach comes, causing the side of evil to vomit, to throw up, and to finally allow for the escape of many, many, many neshamas that have been held from the beginning. And this is an inyan that is discussed at length in this Sfarim HaKadoshim. And because of that, what Rav Motl is saying is Nimtza ki lav davke mishal oilam lo nechshal b'cheta filo ba'oynes hu zeh shenechshav k'shem ha'bris yoyseh mimisha nechshal. The Misha Nichshol binyan zeh b'oifen shachein zeh b'geder oynes azay yitochen sheyeshnam cheshbon shamayim binyan zeh. There are people who intentionally violate this, and there are others who are ba'oynes, who against their will. What Rav Motl is saying is that it's very hard to make a distinction nowadays. How do we define somebody who's intentionally in violation and somebody who is against his will? As a yitachin sheyeshnam cheshbonos shamayim binyan zeh, there are cheshbonos from shamayim. Again, a person doesn't know for sure. All one can do is to try his hardest to be strong in this inyan, as in everything else, to be strong. But if a person is trying, and even though it seems to him that he's intentionally doing this and he's slipping back into this aveira, he too could be an einus. That he's an einus, and that the cheshbonos from shamayim that have brought this upon him, that he can't control it. Umin shamayim his minuhu lakach. Ve'ein ze esek shalonu. V'adrabe misha nichshol be'ovar evshloi lovlo madrege shmiris arbris oidyoisim ezeshol nichshol oilam aydimashi chazik es hasmo aderech anal. So you could have a person, Rav Motl is saying, that never was nichshol at all in his life, that never ever failed with this inyan. Extraordinary person that never failed. And then you could have another person that has been failing and back and forth and back and forth with this inyan of Kedushas Abris. And it's still possible for this second person who sees himself as a failure to reach higher madregas of Kedushas Abris and Shemir Abris than the first person who has never ever failed, has never messed up. And these are all Cheshbon Shemayim that we don't understand. Cheshbon Hashem. V'yeshnam kama mamar mitzadikim od erzev en kamachum laharach b'yaisa. V'al kaponim hara ze yidiyah shetzarach leida isa. Again, it's still, of course, unclear, and this requires much more learning in order for us to understand what this is at the end of time. And therefore, Rav Motl says he's not going to be marach. The tzaddikim do speak about this. But nevertheless, it's important for a person to know that if you see yourself as somebody who is sincere, and you are trying, and you're doing your best, and you're constantly falling back and picking yourself up again, that there's a very strong likelihood, you can't stop trying, you can't stop doing your best, but there's a very strong likelihood that you're part of this cheshbon from Shemayim, to be one of these neshamas that has to go back into the belly of the fish, into the belly of the whale. And that the Baruch Shalom is sending you back into that place. And one has to know that there is such an inyan. Our job is to try our hardest to be good. And even a person who is nichshal in Pagama Bris in such a way that it can't be defined traditionally to fit into the normal gather of Aynas. Let's say how would a person be an Aynas if he's looking at inappropriate pictures or bad things, he's looking at terrible things on his phone, and then he's Pagim in the Bris? So that certainly would not fall halachically into what's called an Aynas. He brought it upon himself. What are you doing that? What are you looking at those things? And then you're an Aynas. Like, yeah, that afterwards you had a taiva. You shouldn't have looked at those things. That certainly is not an Aynas as far as halach is concerned. Whatever sheet you go by in halacha, that's an Aynas. That's something that you brought upon yourself. And now you're an Aynas. Because you were looking at things. If you wouldn't be looking at those things, then you wouldn't have done this. Which you see, the Swami talks about a Rias Keri at night, when a person is sleeping. That if somebody is Mahar during the day, then even then it's not completely an Aynas. If you were thinking of things that are not appropriate during the day, and while you were sleeping you had such an inyan that happened while you were sleeping, that there was a Keri, that came out, which is, of course, against your will. You were sleeping. It wasn't anything that you, Chalila, did physically to bring upon yourself. Nevertheless, if you were Mahara during the day, if you were thinking inappropriate things during the day and looking where you shouldn't be looking, so even that we see, in terms of the strict definition of an Aynas, is not an Aynas. Nevertheless, the Svarim tell us that even though Mitzad HaPagam Shebedor Achenzo Pagam Noira, even though, like the Zohar says, this is a terrible pagam habris, and as a result of that, the bapashas near ki'i efshal asakin pagamze. Why are you not? What kind of an honest are you? You're looking at wrong things. You're looking at the pictures and things on the movies, whatever it is, and then, as a result of that, you can't hold yourself back. So it looks like this is not an honest look. Looks like a person who's intentionally digging himself in deeper into this problem, and he would seem to fit into the terrible shyness that we find in the Zohar Kaddish regarding somebody who's paigim in the bris. Mikomakom sarachol lina kederach shenahag Yosef. All the person should do is to behave the same way that Yosef HaTzadik behaved, because Yosef HaTzadik, according to that day in the Gemara, Yosef HaTzadik intentionally went home. He intentionally went back to be alone with the wife of Potiphar. In other words, it was not an honest. It was not an honest. He could have stayed longer out of the home. He could have waited until it was busy. But he didn't. According to that day in Chazal, Yosef HaTzadik wanted to be alone with the wife of Potiphar, meaning that he had been on his madrega thinking about this, and he intended to go to do an aveir. In the end, he was strong. Nevertheless, there was an oinus that took place. There were those drops that he spilled. Now, at that point, of course, he was crying. But any Bal Musa could have said to Yosef HaTzadik, "What's that tzadik? What kind of tzadik are you? A real tzadik never would have gone to be. What kind of you went to be alone with her, and you know that you're attracted to her, and you know that she's meshuga for you. So what are you doing over there? What kind of niceness is that?" The reason that Yosef HaTzadik was able to become Davka, was able to emerge from that terrible day as Yosef HaTzadik, the reason he was able to do that was because he did not look at himself after that happened as somebody who was not a Shomer HaBris. He didn't change his way of looking at himself as being a tzaddik. He still saw himself as a Shomer HaBris. He wasn't denying the fact that something bad happened. He shouldn't have done that. And that as a result of it, something bad happened. But he didn't identify himself as such a person who now falls into this new category of being somebody who is a Pagim HaBris. He didn't do that. Ve'ein ze inyon shelo. That's not my inyon. I'm not a Pagim HaBris. I'm a Shomer HaBris who is Nechshel.
This speech
was
never given out.
Wasn't given out? Okay, so I'm sorry. No, just do a few more and then we'll read inside here. It's okay. Sorry. V'hine a'idei she'chazik ha'odim esatzmo b'kach v'yehele amune b'mahus ha'zayis mashina shem ha'bris. I'm sorry, just listen. And as long as the person continues to believe that his mahus, that his essence is, that he's a shem ha'bris, a'idei ze'achen yizke la'atikin anochen shabo. Then he'll come to the final tikkun. In the end, he'll be misakadid. If he starts to change his way of looking at himself, then he's going to go deeper and deeper into that new, terrible way of defining his essence. He'll have gewaldige siyata d'shmai. He'll have help from Hashem. That if he continues on this way, like Yosef HaTzadik, that to the best of his ability, even after looking at something terrible, and even after the Amaisa happened, and there was a Pagam HaBris, but to run away from that matzav, and to open up the Telem, and to open up the Gemara, and to go to the Mikveh, and to take care of oneself, and to go weiter, and to see oneself that still is being Yosef HaTzadik. That's not delusional. A Yosef HaTzadik who's in constant danger of slipping, of ending up with Eishes Potiphera, but not to see oneself as being the Sarah Oifim or the Sarah Mashkin. Not to see oneself in such a way. Because he believes in Kedusha Sayahadis. He believes in the underlying essential Kedusha, the Pnimius, the Kedusha of a Jew. And anybody who believes in that Be'emunah Shleima and the Kedusha Sayahadis that he has within him, in the end, that's going to be Mizgala, that's going to be revealed fully in his life. That Kedusha Sayahadis is going to be revealed. Void is Gala Kedusha Sabin Yishmir Sabris. And when the person remains strong in his emuna, in kedushas hayahadus, in shmiras habris, then over time he becomes stronger, and Hashem becomes revealed to him in that way. And then he begins to understand that the reason that in the earlier time of his life, in the earlier years, like last week or 2 weeks ago, that he was falling so much in this inyan, it was hanistaris l'Hashem elokeinu. The same way that Yosef HaTzadik didn't really want to go to the house of Potiphar. The other view, it's machlokes Rav and Shmuel, so the other view in the Gemara that says that he wasn't going to be with Yosef Potiphar is true. Even according to the view that says he ended up wanting to be alone, that's only in the chitzonius halev. But in pnimius halev, in the pnimius, in the essence, like you see yesterday, what happened yesterday? So you see that by Aaron HaKoyin, it says lahagit shvachu shel Aaron shel Yishin. Then Aaron HaKoyin never ever was mishan. In other words, whatever the Baruch Shalom told Aaron HaKoyin to do, Hagit Shvach Shal Aaron, Rashi brings down, Shalishin. Right? V'yaz Kein Aaron. Hagit Shvach Shal Aaron, Shalishin. But most of his life, Aaron was Mishan. What do I mean by that? Because you all know, Chazal tell us, that Aaron HaKoyin was constantly lying to people about their friends and about their spouses. Right? You know what I'm talking about. That he knew there was a fight, so he would go and say, you should know your wife, Mavish feels terrible. And the guy would say, how do you know that? He said, I spoke to your wife. She came, she saw me walking by, she started to cry. She said, you should know, I love him so much, I feel so bad. It's all that Mavish a lie. Same thing with friends. Aaron HaKoyin was doing this all the time. He was up to all kinds of shtick with people. So here it says, Lahagit Shvach Shalom Shlo Yishin, that Aaron was the straightest person in the world, Lo Yishin. But when it comes to the inyan of telling the truth or not telling the truth, so Aaron opted for the view of Mutar Lashanis Bnei HaShalom, or Mitzvah Lashanis Bnei HaShalom. The same word, Shina Lashanis, Mitzvah Lashanis, Mutar Lashanis, that he was Mishana. He wasn't always so straight. You know, you have some, in every yeshiva you have one or two guys that they're like totally straight. And you can't take those guys, right? You know what I mean? Like they're totally, totally straight, but in such a way that it's crook. You know what I'm talking about? No, they're so straight that they're crook. But there's something missing in common sense. There's something missing as a mensch. So here, Aaron HaKoyin is Lahagit Shvach Shal Aaron Shal Yishin. When it came to lighting candles, the Baruch Shalom told him, whatever you say, and he goes like this, and he goes like that, with the candles, fixes everything nice, 100% what the Baruch Shalom tells him, he does. Then he leaves the menorah, and he meets some guy in the street, he says, hey, Moshe, come here, I want to tell you something, you should know that I met Yankel yesterday. You have no idea how bad he feels what happened between the two of you, you have no idea. The second he walked out from the menorah, he's being Mishana. Here it says, Lahagit Shvach Shal Aaron Shal Yishin. And now all he's doing is being Mishana. Changing, making games. He's being Mishana. Of course, what's the teretz? The teretz is that what Aaron HaKoyin was doing with his being Mishana was revealing what? The Pnimish of the Pnimius. That of course those two Jews love each other. Of course the husband and wife feel bad about it. They do feel bad, but they're stuck in a bad place that each one is waiting for the other one to make the first step. I don't know if any of you have ever been in such a month. So each one is waiting for the other one to say, I'm sorry, right? It's a standoff. A terrible, terrible standoff. Now, the kids never know what's flying with those things, but the parents are at the standoff. Each one's like smoking, and no one's saying, I'm sorry. And so Aaron HaKoyin, like, he broke that, right? So Aaron HaKoyin would say, you should know that he told me, maybe he's not telling you because he's, you know, but he told me that Imam is, it's his fault, he feels terrible. And she would say, really? He said that? I'm telling, am I a liar? The Baruch Shalom said about me, Lahagit Shvach Shal Aaron Shal Yishin. The Baruch Shalom himself said, I'm never Mishana. I do everything straight. Your husband loves you, he told me himself. So then what happens? I always thought about the aftermath of that lie. First of all, doesn't everybody know I was into this stuff? And also the aftermath of it is that he comes home, you know, or she comes home, and they give this funny look to each other, right? Like, and then nobody talks about it. But they just hug each other, they make up, everything is nice. I love you, it's gewaldig. Did they even get to the story of Aaron HaKohen? Then everybody's going to find out that Aaron's a liar. Nobody gets to this story. They don't have to, because he just, because then each one says, I'm sorry, it's my fault. They don't even have to talk about Aaron Cohen. So it turns out, that Aaron is Bechlal never Mishan. You understand? Lahagit Shvach Shal Aaron Shlo Yishina. Aaron is never Mishan. Doesn't say anything that's a Shinui. Now, Aaron HaKohen understands the pnimius, the pnimius of a pnimius. Kosis l'amor of a Jew is that this husband and this wife love each other in the deepest way. But they're in a bad zone. They got into that bad zone. But they love each other. He wasn't Mishan. He is Megal of the pnimius. That's the meaning of Aaron HaKohen. He's Megal of pnimius. L'hagit shvash l'anshul. Because the pnimius of a Jew is Lahalis ne tomid. The pnimius of a Jew is mulpne hamanor yehiu shivas haneiros. The Indian of a Jew is to shine. That's the pnimius of a pnimius. All that we're learning about now of this Indian of a nestor slash shem lokeinu, the mitzad mitzad nestor sel nechshev ke'en kan kilkul. What the Arizal is talking about, and Reb Tzadik and Rabbi Nachum, these tzadikim who are Aaron HaKohen tzaddikim. These are tzaddikim who are living in a world of pnimius shebe pnimius. And they know that in the pnimius shebe pnimius of a Jew, there's no such thing that he is be'etzem a pagim habris. That every Jew is be'etzem shomer habris. It's not an excuse. And you have to know it's a bad inyan and all the other stuff, like Yosef is crying, you have to know. And it starts L'Hashem L'Kaino. The way of the sitrach, the Yetzer Hara, is to take an avera that the person's kimat not guilty of. Kimat not guilty. He gets some 16-year-old bocher, and to say that he's amazed in this inyan of pgam habris. Who was a 16-year-old bocher, 17 or 18-year-old bocher, to say that this bocher is amazed? It's one thing if a person is married, he could say pas besalo, he's married already. It's just a matter of waiting a little bit. But you get a bocher, 16, 17, 18 years old, and to say that he's amazed in such an inyan, that the davka wants to do that, if he doesn't care, doesn't feel bad, if he doesn't a little bit something, a little bit from here, a tear, and a little bit to say Krishna Lamit and to say Rabbi Shalom, I'm sorry. A little bit. But to make him into amazed, and to think that he's chalila, he doesn't care. So the sitrach, the Yitzhara, comes and wants to tell this bocher that you're a pagan habris, you're no good. You looked at that bad stuff, then you did something bad, you're no good. V'asitrach magdila zois ad l'shamayim. And then the sitrach makes this big, 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 ad l'shamayim, this aveira, ad l'shamayim. Ad l'shamayim. I told you once how the Ovi Yisrael, you know, when he would say that, he knew that he was in an earlier Gilgal, you remember? That he knew that he was a Kohen in the time of his Amigdash. You remember? And he remembered that he was a Kohen Gadol in his Amigdash. When he used to say the Avad Yom Kippur, the Ovi Yisrael, the Abdu'av used to say, V'kach ha'yisi mayna. Pretty good? Yeah. This is how I used to do it. V'kach ha'yisi mayna. That's what he used to say. He remembered. Yeah. And it happened once that there was somebody that was on the side there by the Ovi Yisrael, and there was a Yid that came in, and he came in and he started to cry. He was howling about some disgusting thing that he did, some ma'aseh with a woman. And the Ovi Yisrael looks at him, and the Ovi Yisrael starts to laugh. He starts to laugh. And the person looks at the Ovi Yisrael, and and he starts to cry, and they go to another place, and I saw whatever happened, I was machazikim. So it happened that there was somebody on this that saw that shouldn't have been seeing that. There was somebody on the side. How come we have some good stories like that? So somebody saw this Indian, and he couldn't understand, how could it be that a Jew comes running into the Rebbe with such a miser, and Ayub Yisrael's laughing at him. So Ayub Yisrael told him, look, you know that I was once a Kohen Gadol. Now before I became Kohen Gadol, I was from the Pirchei Kohuna. I belonged to Pirchei. Not the singing, but Pirchei Kohuna. And I was a young Kohen, and one of my first jobs was I used to take care of the behemoths. When people were coming to buy for karbanis, I was in charge of the livestock over there. It was one of my jobs. They put the young kahana, was one of my jobs. And so what would happen is that I was like the first guy that the balaveira would meet, you know, when he was coming to buy a behemoth. So what would happen is that the guy would come. And this guy was a customer back then in earlier Gilgal, and he came back then with a crazy maisa with a woman that he did. Something happened with him, and he wanted a kapara. So, what kind of kapara? Shogeg, maisa, whatever happened, he came to get a karm. And he comes and he is crying with such a marish chayra, and I couldn't help myself. I started laughing. As he said, I started laughing, like, what are you getting so worked up over this Indian? You just have to do tshuva and be good and stop making a whole big deal about it. Take an animal and get more of this stuff. And that guy that came today is the same guy. He comes again to hack me with his aveiros. As he said, the same guy. So I looked at him in the same way. I couldn't hold myself back from laughing. You know, 2,300 years ago, whatever. So I find it to be like, this guy's just getting too carried away with all of this. So I couldn't help myself. Rav Yisrael once said that the same tzaddik, Rav Yisrael said that when a Jew would come crying to him about his aveiros, about the Beis Hamikdash, so he said he would call over a Levi, one of the Levim, a Baal Menagin. He would call over a Levi, and he would say to the Levi, he would make a signal to the Levi to start to play a Dveikus Nigin. And the guy would start, the Levi would start to sing a Nigin of Dveikus, and then the Jew that did the Aveir would fall to pieces from this Dveikus Nigin. It would clean him out, mamish, clean him out, this Dveikus Nigin. And when the Ayub Yisrael would see that this person was already, when the Levi would see, and the Kohen would see, that this Jew was already like Ois Mensch from the Aveir, so then he would motion to the Levi to start to sing a Simcha Nigin, to sing something of a Simcha Nigin. And then he said he was a Kohen, he would do a Rikud then with the Balaveira. Do you know what kind of trouble we get in for saying all this, like, someplace? This sounds like apikorsis. This is the Beis HaMedrash of the Baal Shem Tov, if you understand. The tachlis was to bring the person to the place within himself that's called Anistar Zalashem Lekain. That's the tachlis. The people have a different strategy. This is the strategy of Rabbi Shimon, of the Ariya Kodesh, and the Baal Shem Tov, because I spoke a little bit about Zoycha, we were talking to be together by Rabbi Shimon. I spoke a little about this Indian. We were learning together by Rabbi Shimon. At the end of time, to be noigel a Yosef a Tzadik. Katzor glunok a Yosef a Tzadik, shenich bigdo eslo, vuhunos viyotza achutzo, וכך יוכל לו למדרג הצד יסוד העולם, ואלו הם מן העניינים העמוקים, ומן התיקונים העמוקים, המסגל ובמי השויבים, יסתורג מה תקצה, this during שויבים, אבל נסגר של השם וכן, then we'll show me after the summer, we might we'll talk much more about this, and you need to understand, what is this business with the Nitzaitis, what does this mean? And obviously it's not a game. It doesn't work unless the person feels a broken heart. That's why he would first call over the lady to play a niggin of Dveikus, that the guy should have a broken heart. Now look at the page that you have, that you just got now. We're going to read something together, just this little paragraph on the left side, which says, V'zeu d'chsiv ha'ish Moshe, you see it? It's from yesterday's parasha. Now, even though I'm only going to be able to explain this Bez Hashem ba'omek after the summer. But I felt it would be a good way to like be Messiah the times that we've had together for the Chabura over this year. This is the Friedrich Rebbe from Lubavitch had over from his father, the Rebbe Rashab Schusi Yelenu from Lubavitch. And it's the makor of it is in the early in the scene from Chabad, but the Rashab said it very, very clearly. Now this is going to be a shocking thing. It's found in the Mamorim of the Rashab from the year of Ateris, Tav Resh Ayin Tes. Ateris, what the Chassidim call Ateris. V'zeo dechsiv v'ha'ish ma'isha anav ma'oid mikol ha'odam ha'isha al pnei ha'adam. Right, we read that yesterday. V'ha'ish ma'isha anav ma'oid mikol ha'odam. If you have a chance and you understand the Yiddish, you can read the Yiddish from before. What led to this, that he brought down this part of a maimer from the Rashab. Zeh dechsiv ha'ish ma'isha anav ma'oid mikol ha'odam ha'isha al pnei ha'adam. So it says in Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person al pnei ha'adam. Now, from the time that we're children and we first heard that Pasuk, we're all wondering, like, how could that be? How could Moshe Rabbeinu be the most humble person? Sof kol sof, he knew his koiches, he argued with Hashem. Hayich al Moshe pnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu himself said that if you don't forgive them, you could erase me from the Torah, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was a heavyweight. He knew that he was the leader of the Jewish people. He knew that the Kadosh Baruch Hu made him an offer to build the whole Jewish people from him. He knew that all of that. So how do you come to Anivus? How could it be that Moshe is v'ish Moshe onav me'oid mikol ha'odam ha'shal pnei ha'adam? So of course, that brings one to a deeper understanding of what Anivus means. What is humility? Obviously, it doesn't mean that you don't know your koiches. That's not humility, because then everybody would just be a nobody. That's not what humility is. But the key that the Rashab focuses here is, why does it say, Asher al pnei ha'adam? V'ish ma'ish onav ma'id. You want to say, mikol adam. It's also good, you want to say. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person in the world. Say that, must speak. What's Asher al pnei ha'adam? Now listen, look at this. This is Mamish a half-a-dick thing. Ki Moshe ra'a sifra shel Adam HaRishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was one of those few people in history that was allowed to take a peek into the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. In other words, we're there in the Sefer of Adam HaRishon, all the Jews that would ever live. All Nishmas Yisrael in the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. Sefer told us Adam. There was such a book, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see, again, I don't know, something that, well, if there was a hard copy of that book, it is, but there was such a sefer of Adam HaRishon. Ki Moshe ra'a sifra shel Adam HaRishon v'ra'a sheyia dor be'ikvas Mashiach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was going over all of the generations. First he was chazing over the people who were before him, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was looking into the future to see all the Jews of the future. And he looked like many people do when you get an exciting book and it looks like an interesting book. What do? You shouldn't do it. You might sometimes take a little, you look at the end, right? You want to see what happens at the end. So Moshe Rabbeinu got his hands on this, on Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon, and it's, this is an interesting book, no? So he went to look to see what's going to, he went to see the end of the book. Meaning, he looked at us. He looked at the end of time, Ikvas Mashiach. He looked at the end of the book. V'rashi yador be'ikvas Mashiach. He looked all the way ahead to the end of the book, at the end of this big book, to the ikvas Mashiach, to the last generation, and he saw shelo yehem behem hasog elukis. He saw that there's going to be at the end of time Jews that have no hasog elukis, understand nothing about God, of no hasog elukis. That doesn't mean to say that there aren't people who are trying or thinking. There are fine Jews, Tamid Chacham Tzadikim. But in the end, Hainu, Shahasoga Shulhem, Eina Nechshevus Lahasoga Klal. Moshe Ben Nisul, that whatever Hasogas they think they have in our generation, the end of time, really, Eina Nechshevus Lahasoga Klal. Nothing. It's Bechlal, not a Hasoga in a Lukus. At all. And certainly, in comparison to Moshe Rabbeinu's Hasogas that he understood about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that he understood about Elokus, about the Neshama, and about Elokus. So the Neshamas of the end of time, the Jews of the end of time, he saw the Bechlal, they have no Hasog at all in Elokus. No understanding of Elokus. V'gam shalaitia avoida amitis b'moach v'leiv. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw that at the end of time, there's not going to be any real avoda amitis b'moach v'leiv with the depths of one's mind, with all of one's mind and all of one's heart. So, all he saw was this. Rakia kiyum amitis b'poil o'maisa. He saw that these Jews at the end of time, who have no hasagas of Elokus, know nothing about God, know nothing about the neshama, who are not able to squeeze out an avoda of moach v'lev, an avoda amitis from the brain and the heart. There's one thing that they do. Rak yekiyum hamitzvos b'poel ma'aseh. They still get up and put on tefillin while they're yawning. While the other hand, they're trying to put on tefillin and they're still trying to do their phone thing while they're putting on the tefillin. Hamitzvah Pala Maisa. They still go to shul, they still try to keep mitzvahs, to keep Shabbos. And just for them to keep Torah mitzvahs, yeb mesirus nefesh, shiukam menias v'ikuv meguf nefesh, and there are going to be so many unbelievable things holding them back from just keeping mitzvahs. Things ikuvim holding them back, beguf v'nefesh, beribui halomis v'hasterim, because they're going to be at the end of time. There's going to be ribui halomis v'hasterim, unbelievable amount of concealment, of covering halomis and hasterim. V'yamdu, and Jews at the end of time, they're going to be Jews who v'yamdu neged kol moineya, that they're going to stand up against all of those things that are in the way, begufa benefesh, that are holding them back, not to put on tefillin, not to go to shul, not to keep Shabbos, not to learn a little bit. V'kaimu ha-mitzvos b'mesirus nefesh u'b'derech nisayin. And they're going to push ahead to be mekayim mitzvahs with mesirus nefesh and with all of the nisyonos of the end of time. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw this. When he looked at the Sefer of Adam Arish, he was watching us. He saw us in the Sefer. V'ra'as ni'itzas haschola shebezeh davke mebchines pnimius v'atzmus ein soif. And he saw that the only way the Jews would be able to do that in the future was because there was revealed within them the essence of God Himself on the highest and deepest level. Because otherwise it would be impossible for Jews in such a matzah to drag themselves to shul and to put on tefillin. And he saw in the itzas haschola shebezed davke, he saw that really in the end of time, in the last neshamas, he saw the earliest beginning of all things. Mebchinas pnimius v'atzmus ein soif, the inner core of the Atzmus of the Infinite One Himself. And when he saw that, Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, Hay betachlis hashiflus ba'atzmai, he was humbled in the deepest way. Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by that. That I myself have no access to Atzmus Ein Sof. I never came to that place to be Moshe Nefesh, to reach that Nakuda within myself for Atzmus Ein Sof. And Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled. Ribnei ha'yisra and hazeh, because he saw the greatness of the last generation, Shehem gedolim harbe mimenu. The gedolim harbe mimenu. That they're much, much greater than him. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. So now, Vaish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam, on a deeper level means mikol ha'adam. You could say because he saw the sefer of Adam, and mikol ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adama. Asher al pnei ha'adama means that Moshe Rabbeinu looked ahead and he saw Jews, who their existence is entirely al pnei ha'adama. You understand? Filth and dirt. Asher al pnei ha'adama. And these people are asher al pnei ha'adama, who are mamish living in the dirt and the filth, and who have no hasagas of elokus. You see, if you have a hasaga of elokus, if you understand something about the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you have a tanug, you have an oinig, right? In putting on tefillin, you enjoy it. You have a certain kind of a pleasure being a Jew. But if you have no hasaga of elokus, if you have no hasaga of elokus, I'm talking about reading a book. If you have a book, you're reading a book, you don't understand what, whatever, you're some kind of a English major and you have to pass organic chemistry, you know what I'm saying? And they give you this book of organic chemistry or physics or something, and you're trying to, you know, you start turning it around like this and you're trying to figure out what is this? Mm-hmm. Or you're watching some crazy, complicated thing, a film or something, you know, what's going on? So how could you have no hasag of it at all. So there's no hasaga, there's no einig, there's no pleasure. So what's supposed to motivate you? Moshe Ben was filled with the hasaga of elokus. And he saw earlier generations, he saw Jews, that even though they might not be so learned, but sofka are the people that they were seeing and what they were exposed to, they had something, they had a hasaga of elokus. So the fact that they would get up in the morning and go to shul wasn't such a big chiddush. But then when he looked at the end of time, Ikfis of the Mashiach, he saw Jews that have b'chlal no asagir lukus. There's no avoid amitis b'moyach uvelev. Nothing. No asagir. No asagir sevelukus. And all they have left is that they're trying to be Jews, but poil ma'isa. They're just trying to keep mitzvahs. Their entire lives, he saw, is al pnei ha'adama. Is on the ground. They have no. They don't have any times where they take off. They never saw the Chozer from Lublin, you understand? They never saw the Baal HaTanya. They never saw Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman would laugh in his time when they told, when somebody would come to him, a maskil, because he would. At the end of his life, he was with a lot of these people that were not religious, and the person would come to Rabbi Nachman and swear that he doesn't believe in God. And Rabbi Nachman said, "What are you talking about? You never met God. You're not a bar hachi to say you don't believe in Him. What does it mean you don't believe in God? And the God that you don't believe in, I also don't believe in." The God that you don't believe in, I also don't believe in the God that you don't believe in. If you'd like, you could stay with me a little bit, and I'll give you a Hasagya Velokus, something. Hasagya Velokus, stay with me. I'll show you a little bit, but don't tell me you don't believe. What do you have a Shaykh as the Baruch Hashem? You're saying you don't believe in God. When the Oiv Yisrael would laugh with that person who was crying over his Aveir, he wasn't saying that it's not bad. What he was saying is, you don't have a hasaga of who you are. You don't have a hasaga that you have within you, chelek elokim yimal mamish. So you did this inyan, or you did this aveira, and you think that that's who you are. That's a gelachta. That's not who you are. That's bechlal not who you are. It's not at all who you are. I do the same thing a lot, very often. I have a bacher or a young woman will come, a girl will come talk to me about how many times I had, like these girls, they say that, some girls go, this happens so many times over the years, there's a girl that's dating a guy, And she says she doesn't know what to do, that she should marry this guy. And I said, tell me about him. And she goes on to describe, like, the son of Frankenstein. And I'm wondering, like, what does she mean? She has a suffix to marry this guy? I think the suffix should be, do you call the police or something, but not, should you marry this guy? This is what he's taken advantage of and what he's done, but really, you know, he does mean well, whatever. I don't know, she's saying all these things. And I know where this is going, this conversation, because I've had this so many times over the years. You know where it's going. This is where it's going. If you just skip the pages, it's going to here. She says to me, Rebbe, I'm already 26 years old. And at this point in my life, I don't think that I'm going to get married. Like, no one else is going to marry me. And I say something like, why do you think no one's going to marry you? You're a wonderful girl. Why wouldn't anybody marry you? And then she says things like, I'm not as wonderful as you think. And then I start to laugh, just like the other Israel. Not to compare myself, but I start to laugh. I said, you're not such a wonderful girl. Unless there's something really, really crazy, there's no aver that you did that's going to convince me that you're not such a wonderful girl. What's the... She thinks that she's already not worthy. Otherwise, how do you explain that she's going out with this guy for 2 months? The guy's no good. Why is she talking to this guy at all? The guy's no good. Because she thinks that she's not good. And at the end of the conversation, let's go through all the way, then she'll tell me that when she was 17 in camp, she was fooling around with a guy, like, by the lake, you know what I mean, a little bit. I said, did you do the Maisa? You did a Maisa Aveira? She said, no, but I did a lot of other stuff. And I start to laugh again. I said, whoa, this is... And you think that for this, God doesn't want you to get married, because he this is a... You want to show me where it says that a person like that can't get married? Where does it say in any safer? You can't get married? And she's crying, who's going to marry a person like me? I said, what are you talking out of your mind? And that's why you're going out with this guy? That's why you're thinking that you have a hobby to marry this guy. But that's the story of our generation. And by the way, if I got to talk to the son of Frankenstein, I would laugh at his avarice too. You understand? I would also laugh at his avarice. Because that's what we were taught by the tzaddikim, had to try to get to the place of the Hagid Shvach Shalar and Shleshina. Not because it's a game, not because it's not true, because it's emes. The truth is that girl is wonderful. The truth is that guy that's messing up her life is wonderful. He's got to stop doing that. But the way to get him to stop is not by convincing him to believe in what he already thinks about himself, but to get him to a place of Bemis, who he is. That's Lahagit Shvachashlav Shleshina. That the emes is that every Jew is Leishina. In the pnimius of every single Jew's loishina, he never went 1 second away from God, willingly and knowingly, and to do against Hashem. Never met Hashem, there's no Hashem. Never went against Hashem. Somebody went against Hashem. You or I ever did anything to go against Hashem? Chas v'shalom. You find me one bach in all the yeshivas of the world who ever did something against Hashem. It's simply not true. There's not one bach anywhere in any yeshiva, any place in Tosh Nayim Tes who went to do something against Hashem. There's no such bach. There's no such bach in any yeshiva in the world who went to do something against. So then how come guys are getting thrown out? There's not one bach that ever did anything against Hashem. There are thousands of bachim that never were introduced to Hashem's bach. They don't have no hasag of Hashem. They don't understand what Hashem wants from them. But that went to do against Hashem, to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's not one bacher in the world that ever did that. And at the end, all of these principles are throwing these guys out left and right. They're going to have to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have a conversation about that. Not to say that sometimes there is such a very rare thing where it's not possible to keep a certain bacher in a place because it's not working out. There is such an thing. I'm not saying that there isn't. But not as liberally as it's taking place. If I would play you, it's already past this month. There's a student that I had, a girl. She was a student of mine 30 years ago, and she lives now in Yerushalayim, and she has a beautiful family. At the time, she wasn't from it all back then. She was mamish a fire. She wanted the truth, and she's great. I haven't been in touch with her for many, many years. And then she called me. She called me about what's going on with a kid of hers in yeshiva in Yerushalayim. What's going on? This, what the Rebbe did with this kid. What happened to this boy in yeshiva in Yerushalayim? And how the principal is covering. And what's going on? And she can't get anybody to hear the story. And she's being now made into a Rashanti. You understand this kind of the whole thing. And she's leaving messages. This is why did I become frum? And you know, I became frum because I want them to raise the kids the right way. And then it all comes. And I look at these stories, and I hear unfortunately stories all the time. And what's going to happen to these kids? And then they go off. They go here. And they look at themselves as being bad. A child that's molested starts to see himself as being bad. Why did I let that happen to me? You know, how could I be? What kind of a Jew am I that I let that happen to me? It's all the same sugya. It's Asher al Pnei Ha'adam, and all these ugly, crazy stories that we see now. Moshe, when he was looking, he saw all of this in the Sefer Avodah Merish, and he was humbled by it. So why was Moshe Rabbeinu the most humble person who ever lived? Because he saw the generation that's upon the face of the earth, mamish, on the earth. And even though they're upon the face of the earth, they still get up and they try to keep Torah mitzvahs. They try to be good, not to go against Hashem. They still come back. In Kippur, they still come back to do mitzvahs. And from that, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person. So going back to, and finishing, going back to what we were talking about last week, and I was talking about this by Rabbi Shimon. So when you see your kid the next time that he's not into his learning, now it's going to be like a little bit, it's going to be Ben Azman, and you're wondering like, why is it that I just paid like $15,000 tuition, and that's with a Hanocha and begging the tuition committee, and I just paid $15,000, and I see that my kid doesn't like open a safer for 2 months. It doesn't look at a safer. Even if you try to put the Gemara like near him, like this, you know. So he goes, and they told you by parents' teacher that he's steiging. He got Aleph plus. Doesn't want to look at the Gemara, and you're thinking about saying something to him. Ah, so this is who you are. I thought, and I see the Ben Azmanim, the real way. I heard from my Rebbe, that's how you start. You could start. I heard from my Rebbe that the real measure of a Jew is whether he's learning Ben Azmanim. I didn't see you pick up a Gemara once, Ben Azmanim. So all you did during the whole year, you know what it's worth? Nothing. You like that? It's good? It's classic, no? Classic fathering. Parenting, classic parenting. So all you're learning during the year. Yeah, Aleph plus, big Aleph plus. Nothing from nothing. I didn't see you look into a safer for 2 months. All you do is you're playing here and you're going running around and you're looking at the movies and you're texting your friends. What kind of, the whole thing you do during the year is a game. So remember, the Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by your son. Remember that. And tell the Rebbeim too. The Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by these boys and these girls. And he still gets up and tries to put on tefillin for a minute. And you're already thinking, oh, that's how you put on tefillin. How come he's not going to shul? The best boy in the shir, he doesn't go to shul, whatever. He's getting up, he's putting on tefillin. Ashrech. Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by these people. And you're being mezgar on him. And you're holding something over him. I understand it's not hefker, and I don't know how to work this out with the rules of disciplining and all that stuff. I'm ready. Your grandfather is total hefker. Nothing. Everything that they do is good, and do and eat and have and enjoy. You don't feel like learning. You don't have to learn. Do whatever you want. It's easy for me to say like that as a grandfather. Because I'm not in that melchum. But remember what the Rebbe Ashab, and he heard this from his father. There were holy people he heard this from. And this goes back to Rabbi Shimon. It goes back to Rabbi Yaakov and to Rabbi Shimon, these stories that we're learning. And if Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled when he looked at your son and he looked at your daughter, because your daughter put on her sleeve a little bit funny and your son is not learning, and try to get it, whatever you can do to help. But be careful. Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled by these people. Ashal pnei ha'adam. And don't gloat over them. And don't say things that later on are going to come back to you at 120. Why did you talk to your kid that way? Why did you make him feel that he's worth nothing? He's not worth nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at him, and Moshe Rabbeinu was humbled when he saw him. I wanted you to see the story before the sum. It's a good thing to keep in the head before the sum. And to share it with your wives, to share it with other Jews, to show such a thing that came from the mouth of a tzaddik. That we should know that. That Hashem Yisboch should help us, that we should realize that we're living in a time that's very, 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 very hard, very strange. And that our neshamas was sent into this time, lechatchila, to go into crazy places to bring out other neshamas. And sometimes we don't have the strength at that moment, on that day. And the ikkar is vayonas ve'etzah chutza, to just grab your stuff and run out and just take the Gemara and shtag and take the Siddur and just keep on shtagging. And the time will come, after the stars, Lashem Akeinu, the Baruch Shemot, give you a shakayach, that you are able to pull out other neshamas from the belly of the whale. We should be zeichet to see that day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.